Welcome everyone here today, and just want you to feel welcome to worship with us, and want to greet each one in Christ's name. It's because of him that we are here today, and also just wanted to say that I appreciated Nelson's devotions this morning. You know, we do live in troublesome times, but we serve a God that is going to take care of us and make sure that give us the strength and the grace and everything we need to be faithful until he comes and returns to the end of our lives, and appreciate that comfort. Also, was thinking of the message last Sunday that William shared with us about our calling and any of the, I'm not sure exactly all he said, but it was a comfort to me to think about, you know, what God has called me to do. And I just had to think about sometimes, you know, what we're doing right now is our calling, and God, sometimes we get tired of it, or we just feel like, you know, we get maybe lonely and or feels old. And it was good to remember that, you know, God put us where we are, has us doing what we're doing for a good reason. And that message was a real comfort to me. And just want to give that testimony. My message this morning is quite a bit different than that, though. Well, I don't know if I should say it's so much different, but it's not that title. The title of my message this morning is The Danger of Placing Too Much Value on Our Own Thinking. And the reason I got going on this subject was several weeks ago I read a verse in my devotions in Proverbs. It says, Proverbs 26:12, it says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him." And that verse just sort of struck me like, wow, that's pretty strong. That's strong. It's, you know, it gives less hope for a guy that thinks too highly of his own opinion than it does for a fool. And that just sort of blew me away when I read that verse. But so this message is a little bit selfish in the way that I feel that it's more to myself than to you. I mean, I think that it can be used for you. I hope it can be, but as I look at my own life and as I studied about this verse, I became aware, you know, it just sort of came across to me too that, you know, you guys know me better than I know myself in many ways, and I have an opinion, and I feel like a lot of you trust my opinion, but I also feel like, you know, some of the places that I serve, it's hard for me to keep my opinion quiet, and I just was convicted. You know, I should not think too highly of my own opinion. It's even if my opinion might be okay or right, that's a real danger. And so that's why, a little bit why I studied this message. You know, it would seem that this proverb is a bit strong. At least to me, it would seem that way. But one thing we have to remember is that the writer of this proverb was the wisest person in the world. God gave Solomon a special amount of wisdom. And even though Solomon did not live his personal life according to those things that he wrote or that he put down in Scripture, I still believe that they are relevant for us today. And even though a lot of the things that he said do not always hold true, I think in many cases they do hold true. There are a lot of these things I've heard people say or read that they're generalizations. But I still think that in many cases, when you think too highly of your own opinion and you believe in it more stronger than you should, you're proud of it, that you have less hope than a fool. I think he was right in that. So just because Solomon didn't live his life according to the things he wrote, that doesn't take the truth away. We have to remember that that it still is important for us to listen to. And as I look at my own experience, when I look at times when I have thought too much of my own opinion, I can say it didn't always work out the best, or it wasn't effective. The main reason I think that thinking too high of our own thinking is dangerous is because the root of it is connected to pride. And you know, even if my thinking is correct, it will not be accepted if I think that it's if I think my opinion is the best opinion or it's the best thinking, it's not going to be accepted. People are not, if God thinks my thinking is correct, the only way that it can actually be used effectively is if I'm humble. And I'm also willing to listen to other people's thoughts and other people's thinking ahead of my own. And, you know, to be honest with you, as I look around, you know, I can easily see when one of you thinks too highly of your own opinion. That's easy for me to see. It's much harder for me to see it in myself. But, you know, I'm just thankful for that still small voice that still speaks to me and tells me that I need to look at my own life. And I confess this morning, I want to confess this morning that even though I don't really know for sure what God thinks about me about my thinking for sure, I just don't know for sure. But I still confess that I can find plenty of times when I think too high of my own thinking. And I just I know that's not right. And this morning I want to stay focused a little more on my own discrepancies as an example of what I mean, and then pray that can encourage you as a listener to look at your own life too. What is the key indicator that you would see in your life, or I'll just say the key indicator in my own life as I evaluate my own life to help me understand if my opinion is too high of myself, of my own thinking. I'm not really talking about myself. I'm talking about my own thinking. You know, for me, I believe the symptom that stands out the most is the only answer I can come to when I look at my own life, my own thinking, is when I think it is more important that I think, when I feel that what I think is more important and better than what you think. I'm off on the wrong track already. And even if God would happen to agree that my thinking is better than yours, my thinking has become ineffective because I did not listen, or I didn't care about what you thought, or what your thinking is. To be like Jesus, we need to humble ourselves and remember that we allow pride in our hearts, that we are deceiving ourselves. And I'd like to read a little passage out of Luke. You don't need to turn with me to there. I'm going to read the parable out of Luke chapter 18, verse 9. But I have her here, and you don't need to go there if you can just listen. I'll read it. A parable that Jesus brought out. It's a very familiar one. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. So I'll stop there a little bit. This doesn't say his thinking, but it says they trusted in themselves. And so I believe that Jesus was bringing out the point that they were trusting in their own ways, their own thinking. And that is what I see in my own life. I trust myself too much sometimes. Too much, I do. Okay, verse 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even as this publican. For I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So the person that thinks too highly of his own thinking, of his own ways, he can't make it. He can't get where he needs to be. God can't work with him like he wants to. I think Jesus is saying in this parable that we cannot trust our own righteousness to please God. I talked about that a couple Sundays ago. Nor should we trust our own thinking as the best thinking. Jesus is not saying in this parable that those good things that the Pharisees were doing were bad to do. He was not saying that. And that is easy for us to think when we first read it, that Jesus is throwing everything away that the Pharisees were doing. And I want to make that clear. Jesus is not saying that. He was just bringing out a point that the attitude that the Pharisees have about their own way of thinking, that was what was bad. That was skewed badly because they trusted in themselves for their own righteousness. You know, if for example, if the Pharisees would have had a humble attitude like the publican had, along with the good things that they were doing, fasting and praying, and because of their faith in Jesus to save them, that's what Jesus really desires for us to have. He doesn't want us to throw out the things that are good. He's not saying that the publican, we don't want to sit around and be in the publican's shoes all of our life, where we're at repentance door. We want to move on, the Bible says. So I want to bring that point out more clearly that way. Jesus wants us to have the attitude of the publican along with our faith and deeds. And then I'd like to go to some words from the Apostle Paul. In Romans 12, it says, verse 16, it says, Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So I think this verse is just simply saying, very simply, don't shut off other people's opinions because they don't deserve it or because of who they are. But listen, be open to learn from your faithful and righteous brethren, regardless of what their status might be, high or low, or in your opinion, their status. Don't be thinking you're better than them in any way, and for sure not in your thinking. Even if God may think, I said this before, I'll say it some more probably, even if God may think it is, your thinking is better, you should never believe it. You should never go there. You should never let yourself go there. We should repent of that. We should have an attitude to lay down our own thinking in line with the thinking of our faithful and righteous brothers. And then I'd like to go to Revelation 3, verse 17. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, if I think my opinion and my ways are good, pretty soon I'll start to believe it. And because I start to believe it, I become what this verse says, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Spiritually, it's speaking. And I believe that's why Solomon wrote that verse in the first place, where he said, there's more hope for a fool. You know, because even though a fool doesn't listen to what he knows he should do, he still knows that he is a fool most times. And he can see that he's not doing right. He knows that. Someone who believes that his own thinking and opinions are best is deceived. And, you know, they're blind and they're miserable, like the Revelation says. And spiritually, they're blind and miserable. And they have less hope than what a fool has. So I would like to make this a little more practical now. I want to just speak a little bit maybe towards some of my own struggles. And I don't like to make myself vulnerable, but I believe that I want to be accountable on this area, because this is not so much what you think about me, even though I don't like what you think about me, but it's more about what God thinks of me, and I really want to be open to that, to God. And I also know that the struggle that I'm thinking of, that some of you have spoke to me about it too, and I know I'm not alone. But at times in my life, I have struggled, and I still do sometimes today too. I don't think it'll ever go away from me. It might be a struggle in all my life. But it's not that big of a thing. But what it is that I don't want to be included with the church membership roster of our church. And now you may ask me, well, where's your loyalty, you know? And I'm not justifying that thinking. I'm confessing that I have struggled, and I do struggle at that sometimes. And the reason is because some families might not agree with my family, or I'm embarrassed about maybe something that your family does that for some, it's not that I'm better, I can tell you that, I know for sure. But to be truthful, I have to confess that when I struggle the most is when I think too highly of myself in my own thinking. I'm sure that's right. And if I'm embarrassed of a family in our church, it's because I think too highly of my ways, or I don't agree with your ways. It's that simple. And, you know, this morning I am not accusing any of you for having this struggle. But before God, I do need to confess that I have had that struggle, and I can have it. Even today I could have it again. But I do not believe it's right. I believe that is wrong. So to make it a little more clear, let's say that I hope that I can encourage other people that might struggle with this too. And to make it more clear, let's say that the more that I have a correct attitude about my ways and my opinions, the closer that brings me to Jesus. I like to think of the church as a big circle. And in the middle of that circle is Jesus. And, you know, people that struggle in loving and caring and showing the right amount of respect for other brethren in the church, and they don't want to treat other people quite as good as they should, you know, that moves them away from that, from the center of that circle, away from Jesus more. And the more that we don't have those feelings, and or we deal with those feelings, I should say, and we confess and we work, it brings us closer to each other and closer to the center where Jesus is there. And so if there would be other people who struggle this way, you know, I want to encourage you that way too, to think about this. Thinking too high of our way or thinking moves us away from Jesus, not closer to him. And, you know, another thing that happens when I think that too high of my own thinking is that I get bogged down by forgetting that all of these people who I am a member of the church with are loved by Jesus just the same as I am. And Jesus gauges, it's so easy for us to forget this, Jesus gauges my love for him by how much I love and value the brother beside me, how much I value them, and I don't have to agree with their thinking, but I need to respect them and be willing to listen to their thinking. You know, in a business organization, we all have status levels that are more pronounced with each position within the business organization. And it's too, and we too easily in our churches, we put it on the same level, and that hurts us. Even though we have an organization, we have to have organization in a church group, the status levels should be upside down compared to a normal business organization. And, you know, the church has some people who are like hypocrites, you know. Each one of us at one time or another in this church probably have been a little bit, some hypocrisy in our lives. And people of low estate, people who are difficult to show respect to because they probably don't deserve it. And so it becomes easy for a dedicated Christian, one who's really serious about serving God, to start feeling superior and higher than God wants us to feel. And that can also, we can start to separate ourselves away from those less dedicated or hard to love people. And we also find it hard to say that we love the church because we don't love some of the people within the church like Jesus wants us to. But if we could try to get to look at it from the perspective of Jesus, you know, Jesus, he gave his life for all of us, and he gave his life for every person here, every member, whatever they are. And it would seem like if I would say to Jesus that I love you, Jesus, but I don't want to say that I love the church. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. They're his people. He died specially for every person in the church. But I don't want to say it because then I really don't love those people. I think that hurts Jesus more than me just saying to him, I love you, Jesus. you know, to Jesus, it is better, I feel it is better for us to admit and humble ourselves and tell Jesus that we love his church. Or as good as it is to tell him that we love him, because that's better than saying, I love you, Jesus. Because when I tell Jesus that I love him, while not humbling myself to say I love his church and all the people in his church, he knows that I lied, and now that I have incriminated my own soul. So I just think we should be careful. I need to be careful telling Jesus that I love him without first humbling myself to love that hard person to love, to respect that other person who doesn't think like I do, and value him. You know, to think correctly of our own opinions, we have to humble ourselves, and we have to listen to other people's thinking and their ways, and continue to love and to value them, even if our thinking is proven better. And there are many other ways in which we trust our own thinking more than anyone else's. There could be a long list, but maybe in our music, you know, we know better about what music is okay than anybody else, or what we do on Sunday or don't do, or our style of dress. You know, the list could go on and on and on. There's 100 subjects or 1,000 subjects, I don't know how many, of things that we think differently and we judge differently than the next person might. And we could argue. And some of these subjects are dear to our hearts. And in all of these, there are some hot button subjects, you might say. And you can always find someone that will agree with you. Maybe not in our church, but someone will agree with your thinking somewhere. You can always find someone to agree with you. But the important part of this is that we have to remember is that our thinking is not ultimately blessed or unblessed by someone else. It could be, but it's not ultimately. Our thinking is judged by God. That's where the final thing is. And what does God think about what we do or what we say is okay? You know, I could argue all day and with my parents or your parents or with one of you about something that you feel matters and I don't feel matters. And at the end of the day, what has it gained us? Or we could go up to, we could sit down with God at Breadbasket and argue with him about it. And how would that make you look different at it? Does that change anything in your mind? It does me. It makes me look all different about it, because even though that's not scriptural and I don't think that we're going to sit down at Breadbasket with God, but you get the point that I'm trying to make with that. I think being practical with that point is that we can sit down with our Bible and we can find the same things in there that we could find if we could sit down with God at Breadbasket. We just don't feel like the same because we can't see God. And, you know, and another thing that I am always looking for, I want yes and no answers. But I've noticed that God doesn't always like yes and no answers on some of these kinds of issues, because he created us with minds and hearts that have ability to listen to all the facts, the history of the situations that we're in, and judge them through our Bible glasses. And he gave us that. That's what he gave us authority to do as men. He wants us to do that. And in some ways, with the Holy Spirit in an open heart, I think that's much better than thinking that we should sit down with God at Breadbasket. I think that there's a lot of good answers there for us, and they're not always yes and no, because God doesn't want to put us in a box and say that's the way the answer is every time, because it isn't always the same answer. Now, I'm not saying that there are many things that God does have yes and no answers, and we know what those are. I'm not speaking about those things. I'm speaking about the way we think and our attitude of our own thinking. You know, I also struggle when you as my brethren do not see things as I see them. And, you know, I go to the Bible and I pray, and this has happened to me many times, that I feel that God is telling me to listen to my brothers on this. You know, if they are righteous, if my brothers are righteous, and I believe you are, and you care about the kingdom of God, and I believe you do, then how can I say that I know better? And, you know, that's where I come back to. And that's where I believe God wants us to come back to. So I feel if I do not like the direction or the way the brethren feel, then I probably need to humble myself and accept their thoughts and ask God to help me understand and to guide me. You know, there are times where the brethren might not be right, but if you find yourself in that place, you know, you probably need to go to a different place. Because you know, if you have a large group or even a group of 5-10 people that are living righteous lives and they serve God and they don't agree with you, that's a big deal. To me, that's a big deal. I take that seriously, and I want to listen to what they have to say to me and to realign my own thinking in their line. So that's basically all I have to share this morning, and I know that was more maybe towards things that I was dealing with in my life, but I want it to be an encouragement to you. And I'll just say this verse again in Proverbs. It says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than him." That's a little negative, and I don't like to leave it negative, but if we could just look at that on the positive side, that we always want to be humble and adjust our thinking towards, not towards our own thinking, but towards what God has given us in his scripture and our righteous brethren that we are in church with. So thank you for your attention. Does someone have a...